Think about what it took to get your first flight lesson. The scheduling, the commitment, the cost. For a lot of people in this country, flight training represents years of saving. You write a check to a school, you hand over that money, and you trust that it goes toward your hours, your aircraft, your future. That trust is the foundation of this industry. Now imagine that money was stolen. I'm Tower on ATIS, your aviation news brief from Radio Hangar. And today we need to talk about FOYT Aviation, a racketeering investigation that just added a third defendant, and what this case means for every student pilot who has ever handed their training funds over to someone else. Before we get into it, today's broadcast is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. If you've earned it in aviation, they've built a coin to market. Challenge coins for first solos, instrument ratings, commercial certificates, airline transport pilot, all the way up. These aren't trinkets. They're built for people who understand what those milestones cost. AviationSoul.com now. FOYT Aviation. Law enforcement has made a third arrest in an ongoing investigation involving FOYT Aviation, a flight training operation. The latest defendant is a former financial account director. That title matters, and we'll come back to it. This individual is now facing 20 theft charges and a single racketeering charge. 20. That is not a clerical error. That is a pattern of conduct, and the law treats it that way. Here's what you need to know about the Racketeer-Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act, or RICO, for anyone who hasn't followed this from the beginning. RICO was designed to go after organized criminal enterprises. It is federal law, it carries heavy penalties, and it was built specifically for situations where multiple people working in coordination commit ongoing crimes. When prosecutors bring a RICO charge, they are saying this wasn't a one-time mistake or a moment of poor judgment. They are saying there was a scheme, it was deliberate, and more than one person was running it. Three arrests now. That's not a coincidence. That is the picture that investigators have been assembling, and each arrest adds another piece. The financial account director role is where this story gets specific and where it should get your attention. A financial account director at a flight training organization is exactly the position you would need to access, redirect, or simply take student funds. These are the people who sit between your check and your training account. They process payments, they manage accounts, they hold the keys to the money. When someone in that role faces 20 theft charges, it suggests a sustained, repeated pattern of taking funds that belong to students and routing them somewhere else. The broader FOYT Aviation investigation has been building for some time. Two prior arrests were made before this third one, and in each case, the charges point back to the same core allegation. Student flight training funds were stolen. In an industry where a private pilot certificate can run $10,000 or more depending on location and aircraft type, and where instrument ratings, commercial certificates, and multi-engine training stack, those costs significantly higher, the stakes for individual students are real. This is not a case where someone lost a minor deposit. For some of these students, this money represented their entire path into aviation. The headline doesn't tell the whole story. This isn't just a fraud case. It's a case with implications for how the flight training industry handles student money and how students should be protecting themselves before any of this ever becomes an issue. There are a few things worth knowing if you're currently enrolled in a flight training program or if you're about to write a large check to start one. First, ask about escrow. Some flight schools hold prepaid student funds in dedicated accounts that are not commingled with the school's operating funds. That separation matters. If a school runs into financial trouble, or if someone inside the organization has the wrong intentions, segregated student accounts provide at least some protection. Ask specifically whether your funds are held in a separate account and ask for documentation. Second, pay in smaller increments where possible. Many schools offer package pricing that looks attractive as a lump sum, but if the choice is between a large upfront payment and smaller per lesson or per phase payments, the flexibility has value beyond the price. You are carrying less risk at any given moment. Third, know who to call. The Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, oversees aviation training, but financial fraud in a flight school is primarily a matter for law enforcement, state attorneys general, and depending on the school's structure and student loan involvement, potentially the Department of Education or other federal oversight bodies. If you believe something is wrong with how your funds are being handled, documenting it early and reporting it to the right authorities quickly makes a difference. Fourth, check a school's reputation through channels that aren't controlled by the school itself. The FAA maintains records on certificated pilot schools. The Better Business Bureau, state consumer protection agencies, and aviation community forums are not perfect, but patterns of complaints tend to surface over time. If a school has a history of financial issues, students who came before you have often left a trail. Now, here's the broader question this case raises, and it's one the aviation training community is going to have to sit with for a while. Flight training in the United States operates through a mix of Part 61 instructors, Part 141 certificated pilot schools, and everything in between. The regulatory framework for safety, for training standards, for aircraft airworthiness is robust. The framework for protecting student financial assets is considerably less developed. There is no federal requirement that student training funds be escrowed. There is no standard disclosure about how schools handle prepayments. In some states, vocational school consumer protection laws apply and provide meaningful oversight. In others, a flight school can operate with very little financial accountability to the people paying into it. This is not a call to avoid flight training. The overwhelming majority of flight schools in this country operate honestly, often at thin margins, often with instructors who are in the business because they love aviation and want to share it. This industry was built by people who care about teaching the next generation to fly. But FYT Aviation, whatever its internal problems turn out to be, is now a case study in what happens when financial controls fail and when the people entrusted with student funds are allowed to operate without oversight. 3 arrests, 20 theft charges, 1 racketeering count, and an unknown number of students who handed over money in good faith and ended up fighting to recover it. The investigation is ongoing. That matters in a RICO case. Once the structure of a conspiracy has been established, investigators continue to examine what the network looked like, who else may have been involved, and what the total scope of the financial harm actually is. We may not be done hearing names in this case. For the pilot community, there's also a secondary story here that doesn't get talked about enough. When a flight training organization collapses under fraud charges, it's not just about the money. Students lose continuity. They lose logbook documentation sometimes. They lose relationships with instructors who may scatter to other schools. They lose time. And in aviation, time matters. A student who was 6 months out from a private pilot check ride and now has to rebuild from scratch with a new school, new aircraft, new instructors, new currency requirements, that's a real setback. Not just financially, emotionally, professionally. That's what makes this more than a financial crime story. It's an aviation story. If you're a flight instructor or a chief flight instructor at a school, here's your takeaway. You may not control the financial side of your organization, but you have a voice. Students talk to instructors. If your students are asking questions about where their money is, or if something feels off about billing practices, that is information worth taking seriously, and if warranted, reporting. Instructors are often the first people who hear when something is wrong. That's a responsibility. If you're a flight school owner or manager operating a legitimate operation, this case is also a reason to think about your own financial controls. How many people have access to student accounts? Is there separation between the person who receives payments and the person who reconciles accounts? Are there audits, even informal ones, that would catch irregularities early? The schools that survive financial scandals, usually as adjacent businesses being compared to the one under investigation, are the ones that can demonstrate they have those controls in place. One more note on the RICO charge specifically, because it's worth understanding what it means for the defendant. A RICO conviction at the federal level carries a maximum of 20 years per count. State-level racketeering charges vary, but they are also serious. The financial director now facing these charges is dealing with exposure that, if convicted on the full indictment, represents significant prison time plus restitution, fines, and a federal record that permanently affects employment in any field involving financial management. This is not a charge prosecutors bring lightly. When you see a RICO count in a case like this, the government has done its homework. We will continue watching this case as it develops. If more arrests follow, or if federal charges are introduced, that will tell us something about how deep investigators believe the scheme went. For now, the message for the aviation community is this. Flight training is one of the most significant financial commitments many people will make outside of a home or an education. Treat it with the same due diligence you would those investments. Ask questions about your money, know where it is, know who controls it, and know that if something doesn't feel right, there are people you can call. Sources for today's broadcast include Ave Web. More aviation news and archives available at RadioHangar.com. Stay ahead of the weather, keep your logbooks accurate, and if you're handing money to a flight school this week, ask where it's going. That's ATIS. I'm Tower.